Hello, I'm Dr. Carr Wilson. Welcome to today's podcast on removing the mask of life. In today's podcast, we'll identify some steps to deepen more meaningful relationships with others. Removing the mask of life, it includes dropping your guard and having open and honest relationships. There are many reasons why we wear masks. Some are good, and some are bad. We wear them to hide our identity or to become someone else for a while. Many of us wear masks for perfectly good reasons. Masks are a way to hide the pain that we've experienced in life. It's a way to keep us sheltered from those who would cause us harm. However, the effect of this mask is a wall that few can penetrate. Imagine, if you would, a wall as far as the east is from the west, and a wall that is as high as the eye can see. This is the picture of a mask that we wear to avoid vulnerability. If you wear the mask, "I'm tough," you won't have to worry about people seeing how weak and how frightened you really are. Wearing the mask, "I'm holy," prevents others from seeing the struggle with your walk. If you wear the mask, "I have it all together," it's handy when you want to avoid real talk and challenging questions because of the pain, the hurt, shame, guilt, and everything else that comes along with this life. Another mask is that "I'm just claiming the victory. Everything is okay." There's even the intellectual and the scholarly mask. The problem with this mask is that it causes you to skate rather than relate. The more you mask, the more you become an expert in wearing those masks. The tragic part of all of this is that the longer we wear the mask, the more we stay hidden in a world of fear, pain, shame, and guilt. Masks are just easy to do. Rather than getting real and dealing with life, we hesitate to admit that we are just human and that God has called us to be vulnerable with one another. This podcast is aimed to tear down the walls that we've built that isolate us from having genuine, honest, and transparent relationships. Opening and sharing oneself is never easy when someone has experienced life issues that has caused you to close off from others, to hide yourself from the world, to hide yourself and to protect yourself from others who would do you harm. Dropping your guard is a challenging task. Many have tried, and most, if not all, have failed at some point. The demolition of the wall requires that you dismantle it brick by brick. You can't take a stick of dynamite, a bulldozer, or a wrecking ball to it. This type of demolition is highly discouraged because of its potential to cause more harm than help. The brick by brick process is tedious and time consuming. We are encouraged to use a hammer and a chisel to slowly chip away at the mortar, dismantling the wall. In this process, you'll place yourself on a path of learning and appreciating the true value of open and honest relationships. Removing the mask of life, it starts with being open and honest first and foremost with yourself. You must be open and honest with yourself before genuinely becoming open and honest with others. The same is true when it comes to love. We can't truly love someone else until we've learned to love ourselves. This, of course, as is talked about and discussed more at length in another work. But removing the mask and getting to know the true you can be difficult and often requires someone who can be objective, unbiased, like a second party, who can reflect back to us what they see. Dropping your guard requires a safe person to bleed on. When times are at their worst, you will need someone that you can call on. You will need someone who you can share in your devastation, your disappointment, your shame, your betrayal. Men and women both need someone who they can share with. They need someone who they can bleed on. A healthy individual understands the value of an open and honest relationship. Men need men, women need women, brothers need brothers, and sisters need sisters. There are a couple things to keep in mind when dismantling the wall that has kept us from being open and honest. Number one, if you're married, your spouse should be the safest person for you to open up and share with. And while at the same time, I do encourage you to have somebody else, a good friend that you can bleed on. But first and foremost, I must insist that your spouse is that first person that you bleed on. Being open and honest and transparent with your spouse creates and fosters intimacy. You should be able to bleed on your spouse. They should be the safest person in the world for you to open up and become vulnerable. Bearing your soul with them in a way that deepens your community, your communication, and improves the quality of your relationship. Dropping your guard and allowing the single most important person in your life to share in your hurt, your pain, your disappointment, your losses is where the value of an open and honest relationship begins to take shape. You may wonder why we're talking about the value of an open and honest relationship today. At the heart of all relationships, and especially in a marriage, having open and honest relationships is the only way to have deeper, more meaningful relationships with the people that we love and we care about. Many of us, including myself, have spent too much time living a life that wasn't our own, playing a part that wasn't written for us. We've missed opportunities, we've suffered from the devastating consequences far too long. And I care too much to allow you to think that you're stuck being who you are, living this lie. I know the joy personally and the gladness of letting your guard down and being open and honest with others. I hope you can make the same discovery and experience the freedom that comes with it. What a great way to live life, being open and honest and transparent. Now, let me clarify, because this journey, the purpose is not to parade our hurt, our past, our pain, our shame for all to see. However, it is so that we can know and experience the value of an open and honest relationship. The ultimate goal is to create and foster an atmosphere where we can share our dreams in an unguarded manner, improving the quality of relationships and enhancing our own quality of life. The value of an open and honest relationship is immeasurable. Immeasurable. We are told that God makes the whole body fit together. Listen, we are not designed to live alone in this world. We all need somebody, and somebody needs us. dropping your guard to experience transparency in your relationship takes a lot of work. And you may need to forgive, forget, and let go. And I know that's a big task to do. And I know you've heard about forgiveness, and some of us still struggle even with the process of forgiveness and the true definition of forgiveness. But forgiveness is a gift that we get to give ourselves. Seldom is it really about the other person. Forgiveness always starts with us first. Forgiveness is an act, a deliberate act of the will to let go, to move on, to be healed, to become a better version of what has caused us hurt. Forgiveness is a deliberate act of the will. It is not an easy task, and it may take some time to really get it down packed. We must be intentional about forgiving others and forgiving ourselves. Forgiveness is the ingredient for being happy. And listen, we know it's a process. It's the reason why Jesus says that we ought to do it 70 times 70. And what he's really talking about is that as long as it takes, as many times as you get it right, you should forgive. So in other words, it's a day-by-day process. Every day that we wake up, every day that we get to experience life, we should be working toward the process of being forgiven and forgiven. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't even use the phrase forgive and forget. But it does imply that it is a continual process. Forgiveness is a clear choice, a deliberate action from the forgiver. Now, when we talk about forgiving and forgetting, again, forgetting is almost impossible to do. The way our brains are designed, we remember every sight, sound, smell, taste, and event. And the only way to really truly forget something, once we've forgiven that act, is to store it in our long-term memory, to forget how to easily recall it. But it's still there. Unless you have some kind of organic disorder where your brain is suffering from a deteriorating disease, you cannot forget. But we can forget where we restored it. And again, it's a process. It's a four-step process to forgiving and forgetting offenses. Number one, we have to process that offense. We have to write it down. We have to determine where we are in the process. We have to literally write down and talk about what has happened. What is that offense? We have to name that offense. Using the ABCD model of cognitive behavior therapy, we have to use this process as a way to take that pain out of our heart, out of our minds, and put it somewhere in black and white, somewhere objective. And I'll often tell people that when we are ready to process that hurt, when we're ready to work through that process of forgiving, it's a good idea to write it down, go to sleep, wake up the next day, come back, revisit it, read it out loud, say it out loud so that your ears will hear it and your heart and your mind will process it. Listen to it. Listen to it coming from your mouth. If it still resonates with you, if it still causes you trepidation, If it still sort of pulls at your heart and your soul, you're not ready to forgive. You're still in the processing stage. So you leave it. You go through your day, you come back another day, and you revisit it again. You read it out loud so that your ears and your heart can help you process it and put it into perspective. Reading it aloud for a day or longer until it no longer resonates with you allows you to decrease the impact that it has on you. When you can objectify the hurt, you can then start to compartmentalize it. And this is how we take it from our short-term memory to our long-term memory.